8. And I think we left off in chapter 14, or 8, verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Here's the centurion. He came to Jesus. He came looking for Jesus. He believed in the words of Jesus. He obviously had heard about him. And he believed in words that Jesus hadn't yet spoken yet. And he knew that Jesus could heal his servant, and he believed that he could do that without even coming there, and he didn't even have to be present. That it, just his words, if he would have speak them right where he's at, that his servant would be healed. And that's faith. That's faith in the Word of God. That's obedience to the Word of God, which is believing it. Romans 8, or Romans 10. Can't remember where that is. Let me look real quick. Yeah, 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So it's not enough to hear the word of God. You have to obey the word of God. You have to be a doer. And the word of God says that you have to believe it. That's obeying the Word of God. And when you truly, truly believe the Word of God, there's going to be some action there. Okay, back to Matthew 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And so here we see something interesting, that you can follow Jesus and still have a house and still have a wife and still have a car and you can have possessions. And what this is showing you, that it's all a matter of priority. And the priority is, are you putting Jesus first? That's the lesson there. Are you putting Jesus first? And he wants you to put him first. He wants all of us to put him first. After all, he's the creator. And not only that, but the creator came and he died so you could live. And when you really stop and think about that, doesn't he deserve it? Doesn't he deserve it? He deserves to be first. We deserve to go to hell and then into the lake of fire. But Jesus, he deserves to be first. And Peter and the disciples, they left all. Meaning they prioritized and made Jesus first. And shouldn't we do the same? That's the lesson. Also notice that Peter's mother-in-law lives at his house. Isn't that something interesting? He lives at his house, or she lives at his house. No wonder why he left all, huh? I'm just kidding there. But she's under his roof, and there could be any number of reasons why she's there. Maybe when Peter was out following Jesus, his wife found that her mother was sick. And she had brought her to their house so she could take care of her. Or maybe the mother-in-law's husband died. And Peter was taking care of her because he's... Did that go off? Because he's not worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says, if you don't take care of your own. Either way... the mother-in-law is there. She's there at his house, and she's sick. And so we see that Peter really, really loves his wife, right? Because his mother-in-law is there at the house. But anyway, nowhere do you see Peter here asking Jesus to heal his mother-in-law. And that's something. On a more serious note, you find here the first pope with a wife and a mother-in-law. And this overthrows the doctrines of the Catholic Church, which you can imagine, it drives the leaders, it drives them mad. This verse will drive them mad. Because, and that's why they don't want you to have a Bible. They don't want you to read a Bible. They want you to read their book of catechism. And they want you to read their material that talks about their traditions of men. Because they know that if you ever were to get your hands on a Bible, a real Bible, not their words, that they would be exposed for the frauds that they are. And if you ever started reading it and believing the Bible, that would be the end of their control over you. And that goes with any religion, not just the Catholics. That goes with the Baptists. That goes with the Southern Baptists. That goes with the Charismatics, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Mormons, and all these other denominations out there. You get in the Bible, and you start seeing for yourself, and ye shall know the truth, the Bible says, and the truth shall make you free. And that's John 8:32. Now, this healing, it occurs after a Sabbath ministry in Capernaum, in a Capernaum synagogue. Let's look in Mark 1. Mark 1:21. The Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." As the scribes, all they had was their traditions of men, and they made the word of God of no effect by their traditions. But Jesus, he is the word of God. He has the word of God, and he was speaking the word of God. And it says here, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" Well, wait. Am I in the right place? Oh, verse 29. "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anan, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her." And so we see that this is happening right after he's teaching in the synagogue. He goes over to Peter's house and Andrew's house, and she's there with her mother. His wife's there with her mother-in-law, and she's sick. And so he heals her. So after the teaching, Jesus and whoever else was with him at the synagogue, at that meeting there, they went back to Peter's house and probably for lunch, like we do when we're done teaching here. You have lunch. Some go home, some stay here. But they discovered that Peter's mother-in-law was very sick. And that's found in Matthew 8:15 here. And it's also found in Mark 1:31, 29-31. And it's also found in Luke 4:39, if you would go there with me. Luke 4:39. It says, "And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house," verse 38. "And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever." Here we see she's got a great fever. "And they besought him for her." They, the people in the house, the people that were with Jesus when they came into the house, they besought him for her. And so here you have a woman, and she's part of the nation of Israel. And her condition is that she's cursed with a fever. She's got a fever. And you see, when Jesus came the first time, we read that the condition of Israel was of that of a leper. That's in Matthew 8:2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the lepers, he's but a dead man. And Jesus came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why he came. And so Jesus, he made a way for that Jew and took the sin that was upon him, upon that Jew, and upon the world. So that they could be clean. And the leaders of Israel didn't want to accept that the only way they could be clean was through Jesus. That's what we saw. Because they end up rejecting. And that's shown here by he's telling this leper to go show himself to the priest. And what he wanted to show that priest was that the only way a leper can be clean is if God cleans them. They knew that. And Jesus is on earth, and he's cleaning that leper. And so the leaders of Israel, they didn't want to accept that. The only way they could be clean is through Jesus Christ. So they wanted their own righteousness. They wanted to say that they could be saved by keeping the law. And Jesus showed them, he showed them that the only way you can be clean is by believing in what he was saying and trusting in the Messiah. That's the only way they could be clean, is by coming through him. And they rejected, and Jesus moves to the Gentiles who heard about Jesus and sought after him in verse 5. There's the centurion of Matthew 8, verse 5 of Matthew 8. And this guy trusts in Jesus as his Lord and calls upon him. And so Jesus heals the Gentiles. And lo and behold, after the Lord got done dealing with the Gentile, after he first dealt with the Jew and they rejected, then he comes and he goes to this Israeli woman who's sick of a curse. She's got a curse. The law is a curse. And that Jew didn't love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, because if he did, he would have trusted Jesus when he was here, and he would have had been free. But he didn't do this. So what happened? Deuteronomy 28. They didn't do this. They could have been free, but they didn't. They were still under bondage. They were still under the bondage of sin. And they were still sick. But they didn't have leprosy anymore. They just had this fever. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. There's this woman in the city, and she's got this curse. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he has consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever, and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. So here you have the nation of Israel. Jesus comes, he takes the sin of the people upon himself on the cross. You see that by the leper. He cleans the leper. He touches that leper, he cleans him. The Gentiles get to get in because of the rejection of the Jewish leaders. He tells them to go show themselves to a priest, and the priest didn't want it. They didn't want to believe that Jesus Christ, that God was on the earth cleaning. He goes to the Gentiles. And then now the condition of the nation of Israel is that they have this fever that's portrayed by this woman, this Jewish woman. And so when that Jew calls out to Jesus for help, when they have hit the rock bottom, when they're in that rock city, they'll call out for help as one people, and Jesus will stand over them. Luke 4:38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her. Here's these people that are they besought Jesus for the nation, for this woman. And so what you have here, he's sitting on the right hand of God. But when that Jew starts to cry out in the tribulation for Jesus to heal them, Jesus will stand up. And he'll raise up 144,000 that will trust in him. And they will minister unto those Jews and bring many to Jesus. They'll bring many to Jesus. And then that Jew will trust in Jesus as their Messiah out of the rock city. And Jesus will come again to set up his kingdom. And he'll heal that nation of all his sickness and cast out the devils. And the nation will get born in a day. And there will be no sickness, and there'll be Jews and Gentiles in the kingdom and born-again believers. And Jesus will set up his kingdom with that Jew as the head of the nations, and the Gentiles will be under that head, and the born-again believers will be over that Jew, over the head. And that's how it's going to be set up. And there'll be no devilish influence over the people, and all will be at rest in peace for 1,000 years. Amen. Because that's what it's going to be. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 8:15. The Bible says, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left, and she arose and ministered unto them." And this is the second time Jesus touches that Jew. The first time was with the leper. You see, the Jews require a sign. And Jesus knows this because it's Jesus' words that the Jews require a sign. That's God's words. So the word is confirmed by the sign. The Gentiles didn't need Jesus to perform the sign. He simply trusted in the word of God. That's in Matthew 8:5-10. And this was an immediate healing, as the same instance is recorded in Luke with a little more information. It's reported in Luke like we just read. It's immediate. Now, after she ministers unto them, look at what she did. "And she ministers unto them, and she arose and ministers unto them." So here's this Jew getting healed. That's God raising up this 144,000. All right? And there was a remnant saved there. And that 144,000 in the tribulation will then go and minister unto those that besought Jesus for the nation. Okay? These people that minister, those are the people that were with Jesus when he was in the house. And it appears as though they went into the city and found all that were sick and all that were possessed with devils, and brought them to Jesus. You see, they believed Jesus could heal. Those people that went out and ministered and gathered these people, they believed that Jesus could heal. And that he would. So these went out and they told the Jews about the healing that took place in that house. And it appears as though the people that they told, they really wanted to get healed. And you know why? Because when you have something physically wrong with you, and you nobody up to this point can help, you'll try anything to get healed. Man, that's a fact. You'll spend every last dime you have to get healed if you think that it could help. And the problem today is that nobody knows that they're spiritually blind and that they have a spiritual condition. They have spiritual sickness. They're sin sick. That's the problem you have today. They've got a fever. They don't even know it. They've got a demonic possession. They don't even know it. They've got lameness. They've got blindness. All sorts of spiritual sickness. They don't even see it. They're on the verge of death. And so when you try to bring them to Jesus, they don't want to come. Why? Because they have their nice cars. They have their nice houses. They have their nice jobs. And they have their health. And they don't know that they're in trouble. These people here, they had physical ailments. And they knew they were in trouble. If somebody would understand the trouble that they were in spiritually, they'd be running to Jesus. But they're blinded. They can't see. And so we're out there witnessing, and that's our job. Once you're saved, somebody told you, you're to tell somebody else. That's the first priority, is to get them to Jesus so they can be healed. And so, nothing seems to be wrong. That even have a good Baptist church to go to, they don't see that they need salvation. Or that they have a good Catholic church to go to, they don't see that they need salvation. They think that they're all right because nothing seems to be wrong in their life. Because if something were to be wrong, wouldn't God, this is their mentality. If something's wrong, wouldn't God punish me? Wouldn't I be getting punished right now? And the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's what the Bible says. If they were reading the Bible, they'd say, hey, maybe God's being good to me because he wants me to get saved. They're deceived by unclean spirits. Verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, folks, it's important to realize that there are different levels of devil infestation that one can have in their body. There can be many unclean spirits in someone and make up the devil, meaning they're united to do one thing in a person, where that person wants to destroy themselves or hurt others, or it's so much so that the manifestation in them that they have is that would cause them to have great strength and do weird things and have weird voices come out of their mouths. And anyone that may have known that person before this happened, it would be obvious to them that there's something wrong with this person. It's evident that this person is being affected by another force, if you knew them before. And there are some things we're to notice here, and the first is that devils, what are they? They're spirits. Says it right there. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits. Alright? So we know that devils are spirits. Now, in order for us to understand where devils come from, it's a must that you compare the scriptures. You have to compare scripture with scripture. In other words, don't just believe a man who was caught up in devil worship because he experienced the spirit world. You have to get in your Bible and compare the scriptures. So let's look up a verse. Let's look up a verse here. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. Or Hebrews, 1. I'll start in verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels saith he at any time, Thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him as a father, and he shall be to me as a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sepulchre of righteousness is the sepulchre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fall. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Right? They're all sent to minister. So it appears as though here we see angels, they're worshiping Jesus, and what are they? They're ministering spirits. And so devils are spirits. They're spirits as well. And so what happened to those angels that fell? Right? What happened to them? They rebelled. They become devils. Or spirits. Or unclean spirits. Are they clean spirits? How could they be clean spirits if they're fallen? And so they're called unclean spirits. They're not clean. They can't be. They rebelled against God. They've got some wickedness in them. Let's look in Mark 5. Mark 5:2. And we're going to see a series of statements here. Notice in verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That's one. All right? We'll go ahead and read it. Who hath his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Here's a man with an unclean spirit. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. All of a sudden, they've got many in him. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils, plural, besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, plural, went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. Now, what you have here, you have a guy, he's doing some weird things. Not only that, but here's this guy, he went to church and worshiped Jesus. And so, they know he's the Son of the Most High God, these spirits. And they're crying out to him. And nowhere in the scriptures do you see God creating devils. Nowhere. And so, just as one day the unbelieving and rebellious man will devolve into the worm, so the angels that rebelled against God and His Word devolve into devils. Unclean spirits. Spirits in the context of devils. Let's look at verse 12 of Mark. And so an unclean spirit is one devil, verse 2, and many devils are unclean spirits, verse 13. And everybody is saying that this guy is possessed with a devil, verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, singular, and had the legion, plural. Right? The fact of the matter is this. Every unsaved person has the devil in him. All right? Every unsaved person. Let's look in Ephesians 2. I can find it. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 2. I will start in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's in the children of disobedience. He's working in them. All right? And so everyone that is a child of disobedience who hasn't obeyed the Word of God, who hasn't trusted in Jesus as their Savior, who hasn't believed in the gospel, that's obeying the gospel by believing it, right? What are you going to do when you believe the gospel? You're going to trust in Jesus. That's the action. Every one of that is a child of disobedience has a spirit in them that is on the side of the prince of the power of the air. And the only way for that spirit to come out is for you to get the Word of God in you. And the only way that's going to happen is if somebody's preaching it to you. Right? Somebody had to preach it to you. We have to preach it to others. And so this man, he could have the devil in him. And he can have a devil manifest, a devil possession in him, which is a legion, which is many devils. And Jesus had to deal with both of them there. Unsaved man has an unclean spirit in him. Every one of them. And they could also have multiple devils in them that could cause them to have unbelievable strength and do weird things and cry out with weird voices. And the only way for that spirit to come out is for you to believe in the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit will come in. And all the others, if you have any others besides the one that's in you, they have to go out. And if you look at this man in Mark, he came to Jesus on his own accord. Sure, the devil and the devils were in him. But he, as a man, had free will to come to Jesus. Because he came. And he worshiped him. And that was enough for Jesus to help him. And notice what this guy does when he's healed, as you read through the story. He goes around telling everyone what Jesus did for him. Why? Not because he had no consciousness of what those devils were doing unto him, but because he came to Jesus. And if he could have, he would have cried out with his own voice. But those devils, they had control over his voice, but they didn't have control over him coming to Jesus. And so we're not going to have an excuse. Nobody's going to have an excuse at the great white throne judgment that I had a devil in me, Lord. Because he's going to say, you had free will to come to me, and you chose not to. Because if you would have came, that devil would have been out of you. And so it appears as though the devils and the devil cannot interfere with somebody who wants to get to Jesus. If you come to Jesus, he'll help you. He'll help you. And maybe these people in Matthew 8 didn't know where Jesus was. Those devils in the city, those unclean spirits that were in men and women, and those sick people. Maybe they didn't know where Jesus was at. And that's why that mother-in-law ministered unto those that were with him. And they went out and got him. And they brought him to Jesus because they knew where he was. And we know where Jesus is. And that's what we need to do. We need to go out and get these people and bring them to Jesus. And so even devil-infested people know they need help. And Jesus will help them get rid of the unclean spirit by giving them a Holy Spirit. And that'll blow the life in you, which drives away the unclean spirits from you. And so we don't have to fear, folks. We don't have to fear the devil. We don't have to fear unclean spirits. We don't have to fear spirits in the context of devils. Why? John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your words and the promises that you give us in them, Lord, and you give us these promises so we can be bold, and we don't have to be afraid, and we can go out and deal with any person in the world, Lord, whether they have devils, whether they are sick, whether they're spiritually sick, Lord, it doesn't matter. We can go out and get them and bring them to you, and that's what you're showing us here, Lord. We don't have to be afraid, and Lord, we thank you again for your words, and we pray that you bless the preaching today, and thank you for the fathers, Lord, and the spiritual fathers we have that have helped us to get saved, and Lord, we're just grateful for them, and we thank you. For Christ's sake, we pray, amen. All right.